Will you pray with me? Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. It's probably not going to surprise you to find out that Groundhog Day goes back to ancient times. First, sort of pagan times when people believe it wasn't called Groundhog Day, but it was a time when people believed that the animals of the earth could tell us a lot, which of course we do know they can. And then the church had this ritual called Candlemas, which had to do with shadows of light and dark. And so you could tell how much more winter there was going to be. And then later, when the Germans came to the United States, they started having Groundhog Day rituals, and they thought the groundhog looked like their hedgehog from their country. And then it became formalized on February 2nd by the people of Punxsutawney. They had the Punxsutawney Groundhog Day Club, and the ritual has gone on ever since. So it's probably not a big surprise that everything starts pagan, becomes Christian, and ends up here somehow. So this is where our story begins, of course, is with February 2nd, and with a small-time weatherman named Phil Connors, played by Bill Murray, who's a pretty an obnoxious human being, thinks he's way better than everybody, thinks he's a celebrity of sorts. The problem is that every single year he gets stuck going to Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania for Groundhog Day, where he disdains and despises just about every person that he meets because he, of course, is way too big and too wonderful to be there. This year, he goes with his cameraman, Larry, and his new producer, Rita. And Rita is an idealist. She is a wonderful person. He doesn't care about any of it. He needs to get back to civilization. He wants the big networks to find him and see him so that he can become an even bigger star than he is. He hates the meaningless ritual. Rita, on the other hand, thinks it's cute. She thinks it's sweet. She says, it's a nice story. People like it. He says, people like blood sausage, too. He says, people are morons. She says, I like blood sausage. So he encounters a man there when he comes out of his hotel room that says to him, do you think we'll have an early spring? He gives him a smarty answer and goes on about his business. And as his day goes on, he, of course, runs into all the same people that he runs into every day. First, the woman in the bed and breakfast who's trying to just be nice when he asks for a cappuccino in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania. The old homeless man who is standing on the corner begging for money. And of course, Ned Ryerson, the insurance salesman that he doesn't remember from high school. When they get to the place where they're going to do the shoot and he's going to do his their weather report, weather Phil, Punxsutawney Phil, which by the way is his name, they both have the name Phil, is going to see his shadow or not, he tells Rita, he says, the same thing happens every year. They talk to the rat, and the rat talks back. And then Phil, who is the seer of seers, tells them whether or not he sees the shadow by whispering in their ear. And then they know, is it going to be an early spring? It's a crummy job, and Phil hates it. He wants to pack up and go back. So he does this little curt, here's what I have to say. Let's load up. Let's get out of here. And of course, they get caught by a blizzard in the van. The blizzard that he as a weatherman was certain was not going to hit them. So he's not even particularly good as a celebrity. And they have to go back to Punxsutawney where they spend the night. And of course, if any of you have seen the movie, and even if you haven't, kind of like the Good Samaritan. You probably have a general idea. The next morning at 6 o'clock a.m., there's Sonny and Cher singing, I've Got You, Babe. And he hears the recording on the radio, and he says, "Oh, they're playing the tape from yesterday morning." It's like they're just lazy, you know, this Hicks. That's what he calls everybody in this town, Hicks. And then he realizes, as time goes on, that he is caught in the exact same day. And he has to go, and he sees the same homeless man, the same man who asks him if spring is coming. He sees Ned Ryerson again, and he realizes that there's not anything he can do. He's making fun of everyone, but he's caught. He's stuck with them. He ignores the old man. He's reliving the same day that he hates over again. Well, the third day, he rushes to a diner he does forget the newscast and starts eating cholesterol, more cholesterol, some fat, and then some more cholesterol. He's smoking cigarettes. And he says to Rita, "I need help." And she says, "Well, maybe you should talk to somebody." So he goes and sees a therapist. And the therapist says to him, "Mr. Connors, this is a very unusual problem. Maybe we should meet again. How about tomorrow?" So nobody believes him. But then what happens is he remembers and realizes that he doesn't have any consequences to this day. I mean, if you get to start over every day, there's no consequences, right? So he goes to a bar, he starts drinking, he's with two guys and they're all drinking, and they get in the truck and they're driving drunk, and he says, "I'm not doing what anybody tells me to do anymore, no more rules, I don't have to do anything, I don't have to sit still, I don't have to be nice to girls, I can drive on railroad tracks," to which the two other drunk guys say, "You know, I kind of even agree with that one." But they do, they drive on the railroad tracks, and of course the next morning, after he's been to jail, he wakes up, "I've got you, babe," and it's the same day once again. He says to the two guys, "What if you lived in a way that every day was exactly the same and nothing you did ever mattered?" And one of them says, "That pretty much sums up my life." Well, that's what's happening. Nothing matters, even the consequences. He's walking past the old man and he goes, "Catch you tomorrow, Pop." Because every day is going to be the same day. If I'm going to do something, I can do that tomorrow. What does it matter if I do it today or tomorrow? Eating, smoking. Rita says to him, "Aren't you worried about lung cancer? Aren't you worried about cholesterol? Aren't you worried about love handles?" He says, "No." And he does whatever he wants. He realizes then he can start manipulating people for his own ulterior motives, including a woman named Nancy. He robs a Brinks truck. And he asks Rita one day, "Who's your perfect guy?" And she describes a man who is humble and loving and kind and who cares about other people and who is romantic and takes care of babies and loves children. And she goes on and on and on, and he is storing this all away so that he can become that person. But again, it's all about ulterior motive. And for some reason, even though he starts being things that she wants, nothing works. He still can't get what he wants from the people in this town. And then he goes into despair. And he starts trying to kill himself. In fact, I may have to tell the story, the other story, but he steals and kidnaps Punxsutawney Phil. And he puts Phil on his lap and is driving Phil in the truck. With his eyes bulging out, he says, "Don't drive angry." Which, when I sent out that we were going to have Groundhog Day as the movie, Brian Conroy, who is in Washington, sends me an email that says, "Don't drive angry." So he goes off the cliff. He puts a toaster in the bathtub with him. He starts jumping off of buildings. He can't kill himself. The next morning, 6 o'clock, there he is, stuck in this gray, dreary, awful, awful, awful day that he thinks is stupid. He thinks it's ridiculous. He thinks the people are stupid. But then one day, he's sitting in the diner with Rita, and he says, "I think I'm a god." She says, "What?" He goes, "Well, not the god, but I think I'm a god." And he explains everything to her about her life and about the lives of all the people in the diner. And she goes, "How are you doing this?" He goes, "I'm telling you, every day I wake up and it's Groundhog Day. Every single day, that's how I know about you." And then he says very nice things to her. "You're kind and you're sweet and you're generous." And suddenly how he views her is changing. There isn't any ulterior motive. And he says to her, "I am a jerk." And she says, "Well, I don't know, Phil. Sometimes I wish I had 1,000 lifetimes. Maybe it's not a curse. It's how you look at it." And this is when Phil begins to change. He gives old Pops a lot of money. He takes him for food. He's nice to Rita and Larry, and he brings them coffee and donuts. He asks them about their lives. He begins to take piano lessons. And at the beginning, he's really quite horrible. Until one day, he's not too bad. And the piano teacher says, "You say this is your first lesson, Mr. Connors?" And he said, "Yes, but my father was a piano tuner." He takes the old man for food, and the old man still dies. He finds out what the man dies of and tries to stop it, and he keeps finding him dead. There is one thing in this he can't change. He shows up every day to catch a little boy who's falling out of a tree, and he says, "What do you say? What do you say? You have never said thank you once, you little brat." He says, "I may not come back tomorrow," but he does. Every day he comes back at the exact same time, and he catches the little boy. There are things he could change, like helping the mayor not choke. And at the groundhog party, everyone knows Phil and loves Phil. And the thing you have to remember that you forget when you're watching it, they've only known him one day. At this party, as they're all coming up to him and saying, "Thank you, Dr. Connors, for fixing my back. Thank you for saving Felix from choking." He goes on, all the people go on, and they have only known him this one day. He has known them forever. But in one day, they all love him. And he says to Rita, when she asks him, "What'd you do today?" He says, "Same old, same old." He says, "But I want you to know, no matter what happens today, what tomorrow is like, I'm happy right now because I love you. Right now, I love you." When he wakes up the next morning, of course, the spell has been broken. He has a new future, new possibilities, and he says to Rita, "Do you know what today is? Today is tomorrow." Hardly ever does tomorrow ever come, but it comes for Phil Connors. I don't know about you, but there's plenty of days that I would like to have back where I would do things very differently. I would do things way better than I did. It's like that old saying, "If I only knew now what I knew then." And that's the kind of day he has, a day where it's gray and miserable and horrible, but he knows now what he knew then. He starts off arrogant and disconnected from everywhere. Everybody, he's too good for everybody. He wants to be a celebrity. And when he found out he was stuck, he blew caution to the wind. He still was arrogant. He was still only thinking about himself, doing whatever he wanted because consequences didn't matter. But he found out that living like that wasn't enough. Even if he could manipulate people, he still didn't get the results he wanted, and because he didn't get the results he wanted, despair set in, and he tried to end it all. Because how does anyone live a life where they can't get the outcome they want ever, ever? I think I know the answer. They turn around. It seems that that's what Phil did. He turned around. Phil repented, a word that we use in our church, in our faith. He had lived a selfish life, and he began to live a selfless life. And the person he emulated all through the movie was Rita. Rita, who saw the good in people, who saw the joy in what all these people were doing once a year, who was kind and compassionate and giving and sharing. And he began to be influenced by her kindness, her care for others. Our own repentance, our own turning around, is when we turn towards God, because God has turned towards us. Rita kept on being the same kind of person every day. And she was frustrated with him, and she told him what she thought, and she didn't like a lot of things about him, but she was always there. Day in and day out, she was there, no matter how obnoxious he was. Jesus said to us, "Love one another as I have loved you." That's a big order, to live that selflessly. This is a story about being born again and again and again and again. His salvation came when he began to live for others, when he entered into their joys and their sorrows and their everyday life, when their lives became interesting and important. That is when he found contentment. It was the day that he had to live his whole life. And he gave up worrying about whether or not it was ever going to change. And he fully entered into the joy of the day he had been given, wanting no more than what he had at that very moment. Grace was his. Salvation was his. And then the miracle of miracles happened. Not that he woke up to a new day, but that he helped build an entire community. He was building the kingdom of God day by day by day. So I guess Groundhog Day was about this. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit and serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are, and do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.